Record. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Cynthia and Deidre here. I know both of them very well in different directions. Deidre is one of the consultants for MBC, and Cynthia has just started working with me about a great business venture. We're not going to give too many secrets about that. Very exciting in the making. But I asked both of them to be on because Deidre and I are getting a lot of questions about how to build strong midwifery partnerships, whether it's collaboration, whether it's the business partnership, particularly when things go south and making it go out gracefully. Because I think sometimes when you guys have been together as business partners for 20 plus years, how do you handle the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs? So you guys take it away. I know Deidre wanted to start with a story, but just first go into a high level background of you both, please.
Yeah. I mean, we have definitely been working together. I think it's more like 10 years. I've been impressed.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to age either one of you. I just thought that's what you said was 20 years. Cynthia's like, how old does she think I am?
Yes. I have been a midwife for 20 years, and half of that time has been spent with Cynthia, definitely first as my student. And I was her preceptor through the NARM process. And then she came on board and we've been partners ever since. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then Cynthia, a little bit about you, like, how did you find Deidre as a preceptor and that relationship built?
That was interesting because I was actually her first student. Uh-huh. And so we learned a lot, right? Like we learned a lot about the whole process and, you know, tweaked it from there for our other students that have come through.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of similar to your first, when you start your practice, you always remember your first midwife client. And it's the same when you have your first student, you have a very special bond together because you guys are building that relationship style of what it's going to look like for the future students.
I think she invested in me because we kind of knew like we wanted to go down that path, you know, together. Like we knew that we had a lot of similarities. And so it afforded us the opportunity to kind of merge together, you know. And so, of course, I had to finish my NARM to be able to get where we needed to go, right? So,
right. Well, and our whole point is we want more midwives, but it's a balancing act of are you going to be a midwife that's going to be going cross country just to be with me for a little bit? Are you going to create a midwifery practice across the street, or are you going to be a midwife with my team? Those are very different levels of preceptor mentorship relationship. So, it's good you guys knew from the beginning that you both were looking for partners. So, Deidre, you said you wanted to start out with a story, so I'll let you just take the floor for that part.
Well, I think it's important for people to know that, you know, your first impression is always not necessarily the right impression. That doesn't mean we should ignore our intuitiveness about people, of course, and midwives are very intuitive. But in general, she was working with another midwife, which was my initial preceptor as well, and she had been serving her. And if you listen to Amber's Journey to Midwifery, you'll hear more about Cynthia's story. But basically, she was working with her, and I had needed some help, and I had met her, and I actually had kind of asked her for some help, but she was somebody who was strong with her boundaries. And so she was kind of like, no, I can't do that or whatever. And my initial impression with her was like, I don't really like her. And so, you know, honestly, I just say that because I want people to just stay open to like taking time and realizing that, you know, you might need to go a little further down the road to figure out each other's strengths and weaknesses. Because if you base your initial decision because somebody is very different than you, you may not come to the right conclusion about them.
And or even timing, reinforcing, like it wasn't the right timing. It wasn't, maybe I caught them on an off day, like we'll reevaluate it in 3 months and just have a further discussion, but not instantly just making a lifelong decision.
I think it's important to take time to do that. Yeah, for sure. To really try to build the relationship and then see, like, is this something that we want to make permanent? And with all of our students, which we've trained a lot of students now since Cynthia, but we always go into it saying, like, we're not guaranteeing you a place on the team. You know, we are here and we're going to work our way down the road. And then sometimes we get down the road and we realize like they have the same goals and we have the same goals and that they're a phenomenal fit. And so we have another midwife coming on the team this fall. And, you know, initially, you know, we just didn't know what to expect. We didn't know her at all. She was coming from another state. And so, yeah, that's kind of a lot with what happened with Cynthia is we both did have very similar goals in the beginning, but our personalities and the way that we process and the way that we do things could not be any different. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes midwife partners, instead of being blessed by their differences, instead they let that kind of come between them. And it can be like a marriage.
I was just going to say, it can be like a marriage. It is like a marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sister marriage partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sister midwives. Yeah.
Sister midwives. Mm-hmm. For mm-hmm. sure. But it's the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think reiterating to people when you're looking for the right partner, it's the same key concepts of a student, just knowing it's a shorter term relationship. And do you want to take the student to the next level with the business relationship? Or like you were talking about, I tell everybody, like, do a 3-month trial, whether they're from the community across the country, being very an evaluation process from 3 to 6 months, saying there's no strings attached. This is a temporary position. Then we'll talk about full time. We'll talk about it in an investment into the business, like stages, because it makes such a difference. Are you two creating a business together, or did one already have the business and is looking for help or partner? It has a very different dynamics to it. So Deidre already had the company. Cynthia was kind of the new one on the block. She mentored. So how did you guys build that business relationship?
Okay, I'll start with that one. Like, I really didn't want to own a business. You know, I just didn't. And I didn't want to be a sole midwife either. I had a big family. I was still homeschooling, but I knew even in the long term, I wanted to have a partnership in some way. And so as we were discussing our family's needs, our not just our professional needs, but our social life needs, like mm-hmm. we were very similar in that way, mm-hmm. you know? And so she's great with the business side of things, the ownership and all of that. And I think I'm pretty great at supporting her in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you do always have to have a strong leader and a strong supporter. And that doesn't mean that you can't. I think midwives in general, we have strong personalities anyways, because we always are in leadership roles one way right. or another, you know? Mm-hmm. And so Cynthia's right. I do think we probably formed our partnership based on really one thing. And that was that we knew what we did not want.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we did not want to be a sole practitioner with no help. And we knew that we did not want to neglect our families, our marriages, our friendships, our spiritual life. We just didn't want to neglect those things.
Right.
And so, you know, we had some very similar goals, but also some very similar, this is what's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that formed the foundation of our partnership for sure. So when it comes to difficulty, you know, I think you always have to come back to what are those core things that are very important? And are we still helping each other do that? Because,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because, you know, you're going to have ups and downs in partnerships and in the co-op, even with numerous people. And mm-hmm. I often do need a lot of help with things. Cynthia is a phenomenal communicator in the way that she can really break things down and turn it into a very good positive. And I've learned a lot from her about that. And so oftentimes when I do have a difficulty, it's great that I have somebody on the team, and the others know that. They know we're close, that we are close friends now. We weren't always that way, but you know, when you work together, you have that. And the other team members know that, you know, if I'm feeling concerned about something or even having an issue with one of the other midwives, you know, I will say to her, hey, like, can you come to this meeting and can you give me some feedback? Because being the leader, like, there's a balance of, like, you don't want to be too firm. You don't want to be too, you know, let too many things go. And you and I have talked about that, mm-hmm. Leslie.
Well, Deidre, if you want to back up a little bit, you guys have a co-op of 5 midwives together. So it's not just the two of you, but you guys were kind of the initial starters and branched out. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. We started out with the two of us, and then one of my other students joined the team. And then there was a nurse midwife in our community that was not going to be in hospital births anymore. And I was either going to help her start her own practice, but in the end, I think she just felt like she was older and didn't want to start a practice on her own either. And I think that's the advantage of what, you know, Leslie, you and I talk about, like, we need to pass this model on so much because there are so many midwives that don't want to be business owners and really could benefit from the leadership of a primary midwife kind of forming a co-op and sharing the expenses and sharing the call and doing all of those things. And I think it's possible to build some really great co-ops. Mm-hmm. If you can really learn to benefit from each other's strengths and weaknesses.
And I guess I'm curious, because you were talking about great points. I want to reiterate where when you become business partners, it's just as much as creating the business. You talked about the mission and the values. You're not just talking about the mission and values of the company. You're also talking about the mission and values that you both want out of this relationship and making clear expectations, especially getting things in writing. I don't know in the beginning if you guys had operating agreements and protocols that were on the same page so that if that moment came up, the emotions aren't part of it. There's no conflict of interest. Can you guys talk about how you built that partnership from the beginning and the goods and bads of it?
Well, I think like what you're saying about having things written out, that's really good. Because then you don't have to even as your own soul midwife, like you need to have good boundaries for yourself. So that you know, like when it comes up to this line, that's the line I'm not going to go past. It doesn't matter what my emotions are going to be at the moment. Mm-hmm. If this is what I've decided previously, it's what I'm going to stay with, you know. It saves you a lot of trouble, mm-hmm. honestly. Yeah. So I'm probably the one that tries to, like, how can we avoid a problem in 5 years with the decision
yeah.
we're making?
Risk reduction, yeah.
Right. Cynthia's always said, and even when she talks to her clients, she's always had this little tagline, like about starting,
begin with the end in mind,
mm-hmm. begin with the end in mind. And I think we did do a good job of that. Mm-hmm. I think we've had to continue. And I think every practice needs to, we have to continue to refine that.
You can't predict in 5 years, what'll come up or what you try to do to your best, your ability of what you know, are hypothetical situations.
Well, and when we added another midwife, I think that there were things that we had one teammate that was like, I am really uncomfortable. I don't want our group to even offer that particular service. And then we kind of all just, we sort of have it's the best 3 out of 4 kind of, because we're going into 5, but right now it's 3 out of 4. And so we talk about things and we all kind of have a say so. Like I am, you know, the owner and I'm the one taking the financial responsibility, but I'm not a dictator. Like this really is just a group of midwives that work together and we all have something to say about everything. Yes, of course, in the end, if there's a problem, I'm going to make the decision, of course. Right. But in general,
that's a hard place to be.
We all talk about like, what do we want our guidelines to be? But I also think that each of us do have a few different things, but we would not dump that on somebody else. So for example, we have 2 midwives in the group that are very serious about the 42 week. Like they're not going to do a home birth.
Post dates and yeah, what's out of hospital and in hospital criteria.
That's their bottom line. And so, you know, they know that, and if they want to do that, they can do that, but they may not go out of town or leave somebody else on call in that situation. Right. And if they were to be on call, like we actually had a little situation when her dad died last fall, you know, basically that person then is given the freedom to go ahead and take them in. And so, you know, they had this midnight deadline, remember? Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, it's going to happen, because she had already told her, listen, you know, there were just these little glitches that were happening. But, you know, again, we just always come back to, what do we really appreciate about each other? And we do not let those things bog us down.
Well, and there's a difference between make or break points and variations of normal and styles, where you have to say, these are our core policies, protocols that everybody agrees on. And if you're going to, here's a list of variations you guys would like to present. And then we decide as a group, yes, you do that variation, but knowing this is the person that will back you in that situation. Because I know of midwives all the time where it goes south fast. I can give you an example of like a breach, a first time mom breach. And they have 4 midwives, 2 CNMs, 2 CPMs, 2 want to do the breach with the mom. They gave great education, documentation, 2 wanted nothing to do with it. So they think they're covered. They think they got a basis. They do a support of the 2 midwives at a birth. They don't do a birth assistant. Well, 1 couldn't make it. She was sick. So then the midwife who didn't want to be there ended up being their bad outcome lost everything because of a situation. So you have to have backup plans. You have to have choices. So you don't feel ever cornered into a situation that you don't want to be in.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And I think we do definitely do that. We talk a lot about those what ifs and those plan B and C that come up, but you know,
we do.
I think like personalities sometimes get in the way too much.
And, I think so too.
But I think one of the things that we've done well, and we talked about it, we laughed about it this morning, you know, is Cynthia would have preferred to have had a long conversation. Well, maybe not long, but a conversation about what we were going to do on the video today. Maybe even like, oh, what are we going to wear? What are we going to say? She would have liked to like knock it down into details. And I'm kind of a big picture person. And I'm more like, hey, let's, like, we know what we're doing. We don't need to talk about it. You know, this is what we do every day. And I just am more laid back in that way about things. And so, you know, she kind of resisted the urge to nail me down on an appointment time to talk about it. And vice versa, though, there are times when I know, okay, she is really going to need to talk about this. And so I will say like, hey, let's have coffee tomorrow and talk about blah, 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 that's coming up. And so we just learn to kind of defer to each other's strengths and weaknesses. And that's not always easy, you know? And I mean, like today, she's like, I'm just going to wear white because whatever Deidre wears, you know, and we're at my house. So I was like, I can just put on.
And I was coming to her house. I had to jump in her shower to get ready because I came from the gym. So I'm like, I'm wearing white. She can figure it out. Yeah. So,
but normally she probably would have liked to have talked about it.
Yeah, you know? Color coordinate. Because we started laughing before we hit record. I was like, did you guys plan and like coordinate? Because the scenery is perfect, the color scheme. And they're laughing because the planner wanted to and the non-planner just figured it out at the last minute.
Yes, most definitely. So I think those are things that I really, other midwife partners and co-ops, you know, I just want to encourage them to not let those little idiosyncrasies be the things that divide you, because ultimately you need those strengths and weaknesses. And I remember when we had one of our partners come on board and I said, you know, and I literally will have things in the works that she doesn't even know anything about just because there's no need, you know? And so
it's her responsibility, honestly.
Yeah. You know? I don't feel the need to consult the whole team about things, but I will have things in the works and then I'll kind of just spring it on everybody. Like, hey, we're getting a lactation consultant and she's starting at the end of the month and here's her contact and here's her QR card and blah, 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 blah. And so we did that with a midwife, though. We added a midwife to our team. And I said, well, she's going to, you know, join our team and blah, blah, blah. And she just kind of looked at me like, I have so many questions.
And
she did. And she was like, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You know, she had like five or six things. And I was like, it was at that point that this was probably about 6 years ago. I thought to myself, I think I actually really need to talk to her and ask her what kinds of questions I should be thinking about. Yeah. You know, so, but I think in order to be in the position that I'm in, you do have to be able to not be afraid to take big leaps, because that's how business grows. You know, I'm not bogged down by the what ifs. I'm just like, we're going to do this and we're going to figure it out. And that's where Cynthia's strengths come in, because she'll be like, okay, well, we do need to figure blah, blah, blah out ahead of time. Right. And so, I mean, we couldn't be a better match.
Even though we were just totally what you would have not pulled off the shelf and put together, right? So that's an important point.
Definitely. But it's reinforcing to people the vision, the cohesiveness. That's what's going to hold you together as glue when you hit your highs and lows. Like when you're partnering, you can have a list of all these questions, but knowing the core part of it is we are on the same page of what we want out of this relationship, short term and long term.
And professionally too. That doesn't just have to do with personally. We had a huge goal professionally in Wichita. It was the same goal. And it was to bring midwifery out into more of the open spaces and places and to make it more common, to have better collaboration. So we had high professional goals with each other that were the same too.
Yeah, I think we mostly probably talked about the personal ones, but Leslie, you had kind of alluded to that earlier too. We did have a lot of professional goals that were very similar as well. And we both are very strong in that. We have a lot of, like, this is very important to us. But I was also going to say something about, you know, when you are forming a partner, I know a lot of groups where they're not friends and they're just business partners. And I think that's okay. I don't think you have to be good friends in order to form a partnership. In fact, I know a lot of groups find it better to not be. Mm-hmm. And we've actually sometimes had to take a step back And at one point she was like, well, I feel like I'm helping you a lot with this and this and this. And I was like, yeah, we need to kind of reevaluate that. And maybe I'm taking advantage of the friendship.
Compared to the other people in the co-op on the team. Okay.
Yeah. And so we had to have some talks about that. And I had to learn that even though Cynthia asks a lot of questions, what I would hear, and I think that's kind of comes back to even sort of like, you know, personality types, enneagrams, whatever you want, however you want to look at it, Myers-Briggs or whatever, her questions to most people like me would, and initially did come, came off what I would call questioning. Mm-hmm. Versus actually genuine questions. Uh-huh. So I learned to not read into that as her questioning me and questioning my authority, and more like I could learn something here. So mm-hmm. I think that all midwives in general, we have to take a humility pill mm-hmm. more than anything.
And you had brought up a good point about there's a lot of great books out there that I think all midwives should read about learning your personality, take those quizzes, learn your personality, have the potential partner, the new person in the relationship, and have an actual objective conversation. This is your teaching style. This is your learning style. This is just strengths of your personality. This is the weaknesses. This makes you more anxious. This makes you heart sing, like those objective, because there's certain personalities that clash together, not so much in a bad way, but they don't typically like each other as much because they're interpreted, well, I just take charge and she's weak because she just thinks about it and doesn't do anything. You can take it negative or positive, or like, okay, I'm the go-getter and she's going to balance out and help with the risk reduction. It's how you approach that questioning like you had brought up.
Well, and I would definitely say, I told Deidre the other day, our office coordinator right now, she is, our student that's coming on board, she's graduating, but she's out of the country for almost like 2 months.
Wow.
So our office coordinator, there's a lot to coordinate with this many midwives, right? Mm-hmm. I told Deidre that, what was it yesterday? Mm-hmm. I'm like, Deidre, I just don't know how you do it. Because like, honestly, it's so much. It's so mm-hmm. much to come home, like not leave the office till 7, still have like 5 or 6 things that didn't get done. You know, now, Deidre thrives with being busy like that. And I thrive with having more, less on my plate, honestly. Mm-hmm. But we know that about each other too. Like,
well, you know, you're appreciating both sides. Like you're saying, yeah. I appreciate your strength. I know this from the background of the website designing and certain duties and skills. Like you're appreciating each other's roles and responsibility and the strengths you're bringing to the table versus, especially when conflict happens, it's, I would love for you guys to give an example of a scenario at some point in your history that went well and it didn't go well. And what did you do about it? So that, because I think we're seeing more and more, not so much of the partnerships forming, they form, but they can fall apart quickly. They're so fragile, especially in the early stages. So how, or even we've seen some consulting clients where it's ugly fast. And I think if they would have had the skills to diffuse it, or like when sometimes things get harder, and those are when those strengths come out of those communication styles and the reiterating it and restructuring it so it doesn't get the emotions high. So I would love for you guys to talk about both directions.
Okay, I think I have an example for this. So I'm one who can genuinely, very genuinely apologize quickly. And I don't think Deidre was used to that. And so she would think like, she's just like shoving it off her plate. She's not being like serious, right? And I realized like, she just needs to talk more. She needs to get more of her emotions out about like what just happened, you know? Not that we would handle it right when something happened, but you know, we're smart enough and old enough to know, like you have to give it a day or two. You know, sometimes
not
you
have to the moment, yes.
You don't wanna do that after birth, like a very long birth. You don't wanna problem solve. There's just times that you don't want to have conflict resolution.
And we were actually at the office that day.
Yeah.
And you were for sure in tears. I probably was close to it. Yeah.
And it's just like, I am so very sorry. Like I really am. But I realized, we've just learned this about each other. I can't remember if it was that you revealed it or I understood it, but she needed to get more of it out. And so now I wait to apologize a little bit.
And, you know, honestly, that was so good. And I just think it will allow these things in life to help refine us and to help us just sharpen us. Mm-hmm. If we will allow that to happen, it's not only just going to benefit us in our practice and our partnership, but it's going to benefit us with our clients. It's going to benefit us in our families. Mm-hmm. And I think this is such a safe place to do it if we allow that to happen. But, you know, I learned that lesson because I didn't realize about myself that I could have a tendency to kind of like go on and on and on about a topic and not let it go, even though somebody has like owned it, apologized, asked for forgiveness. They're obviously remorseful. You know, I didn't know that about myself, but I had been told that about myself. My kids had said that, Mom, come on, just drop it. Like, it's okay. Like we need to move on about it, you know, but I didn't hear that. Cause you know, we don't hear things very well in our family settings. And so, I mean, I'm just talking about me personally here to some degree, but you know, she was able to teach me that. And that was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And that has changed my whole like conflict resolution abilities. And that was an incredible gift. But what I can tell you happens in most partnerships is that they didn't come away with the lesson. Mm-hmm.
The rifts get deeper and they didn't actually resolve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Leslie, you know, you and I both know, just because we've probably done a lot of leadership podcasts and books and different things, but you know, in leadership, there is often a discussion about the inability of people, or not the inability, the unwillingness to change. Yeah. And I think that is what prevents most people from having partnerships, from growing their business, from doing a new adventure, is they are really unwilling to change. And I just took a hardcore look at myself in the mirror about that day. And she also took a hardcore look at herself of like, you know, I am being kind of, she understood that it seemed dismissive.
Yeah.
She really didn't mean it that way, but she understood what the message was being sent. And I understood what message was being sent was like, okay, you are like driving a nail in a coffin here, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I had continued to do that, that would kill her spirit and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know?
And I honestly think our husbands are benefited by our friendship and relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, like sometimes she's like, I can see what Mark's saying, my husband. And she's like, that's what Jerry told me, you know, about me, you know, like we are iron sharpening iron. There's the Proverbs about that, you know, that you are iron sharpening iron. We are better because of our partnership. We are better wives. We are better moms. We are better colleagues. We are better. We're just better, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, that doesn't come from somebody that's just like you. You would never get that strength if you were with somebody that was just like you.
Because it reinforces the ego. It reinforces the central mindset. I mean, that's the whole point. Our whole country is about diversity and culture and biases, because I mean, in business in general, you want your leaders to all come from different backgrounds and beliefs, and because you're going to get a better product, a better service, a better endurance. If you have everybody thinking about the same thing and reinforcing each other, you're missing all these other pieces you didn't know existed.
That's so true. That is absolutely such truth. And that's even like with the rest of the team too, like our personalities couldn't be more different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really are not the same. And I don't want people to hear like, this is just bread and butter here and everything is great, because
it's like a marriage, right? Like, you're just seeing the Facebook pictures right then.
Mm-hmm. you guys have me written down a bunch of notes for the next course on EME for midwife marriage and counseling 101. And we're going to mimic all the stuff they do for husband and wife. And we're going to, you guys got me going on a great idea. So
yes, it's so true. It's such a challenge to put together a good partnership. You know, it really is. And I think that, you know, midwives need to be challenged to ask themselves, like, I'm going to go into this, but how am I willing to change? What am I willing to do? And what am I not willing to do? You know,
What are you going to give up for the greater good of this relationship? And you're not going to get exactly what, I mean, it's similar. Like, they know your deep, dark sides, and they also know your deep strengths, and you got to be vulnerable. And sometimes it's easier to be vulnerable. And so I think you guys are absolutely amazing as partnerships, as I've gotten to know you both. And I feel like we could talk for hours and hours. We're hitting that 30-minute mark, and I tend to keep on 20, 30 minutes. Otherwise, most midwives, that's the time they're driving the kids to school, or they got a little bit of downtime. So thank you both. Is there any tiny hallmark words of wisdom you want to summarize, just to reiterate the benefits and the perks of doing a partnership?
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I was going to just say is like, do focus on the benefits, mm-hmm. not on the things that you don't agree on. That's mm-hmm. the most important thing, because you are going to get perks for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a lot of work for this one little perk, but mm-hmm. it's still a perk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For sure. I agree.
Okay. Good. So thank you so much, ladies, and you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks for having us.